Well, I'm excited. Before I bring the word this morning, we have one of our missionaries who has served in Honduras for 17 years. Yeah, just a few years. But Earl has been here for most of August, and he's going to be heading back to Honduras. And so I just wanted him to come before the word and just touch base with you, share what God's doing in and through them in Honduras. So would you welcome Earl this morning?
I'm happy to be here because this is my body, this part of my body, right? I am part of you in Honduras. I'm serving in Honduras, and it's been 17 years, like Pastor Justin said, which I cannot believe. Time passes like that. I've got white hair, like some of you. And I come back and I say, there's been a few changes. I was wearing this jacket because I was going to make a big deal about how cold it is here and how hot it is in Honduras. But I think I'm going to take this off if you just, because up here close, and those lights are pretty bright, aren't they? So what does this mean? Look at this. Can you read that? Huh? Macanudo, and goes like this.
See that, Tom?
Macanudo. It means sensational. It means top drawer. And in Spanish, and sometimes somebody in Honduras will say, ¿Cómo está? How are you? Macanudo. They just laugh. I think there's some connotation to it. Some kind of that I don't understand. That I better be careful, you know, with the words that I use. This is all one word, macanudo. Ana, who is now a doctor, graduate of Instituto Array, sent it up with Sharon to give to me. So I thought, oh, this would be a perfect time, you know, to share it with you all, was to wear it. This is the first time I've worn it, actually. but it is. So Sharon was here for 1 week, which I was totally surprised. I did not know she was coming. Isn't that something? It was an impossible thing, but God makes all things that are impossible possible. He does. He makes things that are, he takes the I am off of the word impossible, and he makes it possible, totally possible. So we have been in Honduras for 17 years. This church sent us out to Honduras. We started a school in the highlands of Honduras, and it's 15 miles back south of La Ceiba. There was nothing there, but now there is something there, something of power, because God has his hand on that. Because God has his hand on that. And now there are doctors, there are engineers, there are teachers, there are nurses, there are international finance, and others who have graduated from Instituto Array and are now, have graduated from the university and are now doctors. Ana is a doctor. Melvin is a doctor. And they're married. They're both from graduates of Instituto Array, so which is amazing. They live with us. So 3.5 years ago, God brought a couple, Dave and Cindy Sharpless. I think some of you met them. Dave and Cindy Sharpless, they're now the administrators of the school. So God led us to rent a house in La Ceiba and to provide a place for the graduates of Instituto Array could come and live and go on to the university. So that's exactly what we're doing. So we are continuing. God is a God of miracles. God goes before us and prepares the way. God is a God of power and purpose. So That is the wonderful thing. So that's what we're doing. We're teaching three children in the seventh grade school every day, 8 to 2. So talking about school, we teach school every day from 8 to 2 and start school in February and go through November through October. So it's different. Totally switch from here. I wanted to read, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support in every way. We just greatly appreciate it. And it's a pleasure to be here. Let me read a scripture. Actually, I have it right here. In Genesis 25:11, it says this, Isaac lived by Beer Lahai Roy. Have you ever read that? Beer Lahai Roy. What does that mean? You know, if you're like me, I just went right past it. And but God, this just recently showed me what it meant. Isaac lived by a well of the living one who sees me. There, the high right. Isaac lived beside a well of the living one who sees me. Isn't that amazing? That is totally amazing to me. How do you live beside a well of the living one who sees me? By walking with God. By walking down his road. By putting your feet right in his footprints that he, as he's going before you, by putting him first in every way in your life. So praise the Lord. We have that privilege of living beside a well of the living one who sees me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah.
Awesome. Love you. Continue to pray for them and all that God is doing. We love you, Earl, and keep up the good work. Amen? Awesome. Well, I get to share just some things on my heart and just excited for the things that the Lord's doing. I tell you, there's a lot going on today. I hope there's no way you can be bored. How's that? Because we're throwing so much at you. But I am just really excited to share some of the things that the Lord's just sharing with me. And last week, if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the podcast online. Pastor Ryan talked about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to just continue over the next couple of weeks to just continue to talk about the Holy Spirit. And last week, Pastor Ryan talked really about a number of aspects, but he talked about an aspect that you and I as Christians can't live without. And unfortunately, it's one of those topics that we don't hear it preached about often enough. And he talked about how each of us have a prayer language that is direct communication from us to the Spirit of God. And we don't know what we are saying. We don't necessarily understand it, but God does, because it goes from our spirit to his spirit. And so Pastor Ryan just did a great job. And I hope this week that as I was challenged, I hope that all of you were challenged and reminded to not just go through your week just normal, but to go through your week praying those prayers in the spirit when you don't know what to pray, when you don't have an answer. I hope that you found yourself reminded that the Holy Spirit has been given to us for power and to commune with the Lord. And it just was phenomenal. And I don't want to do this Jesus thing without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're not called to do this Jesus thing without the Holy Spirit. And so I was personally challenged at the end of the service as I was just praying. And a young lady in our church had a word that she shared. And she talked about repenting for... how did she say it? She talked about repenting for either neglecting, underestimating, boxing in, or being ignorant of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to box you in. I don't want to underestimate your power in my life. Because as I read the word of truth, there's power in the Holy Spirit. In fact, as Christians, without the Holy Spirit, it says that we can't even speak the name of Jesus. So there's power in the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to continue to talk and hopefully bring some more understanding to the Holy Spirit so that at the end of the day, we know more fully who he is, what he's about, what he wants to do in the life of a believer. Amen? I tell you, this is a topic that I say Holy Spirit and your ears start to go up. And you go, you start to squint your eyes. And you go, I don't know about this. You start to get skeptical. How do I know that? Been there, done that. Been there, done that. But we want to just ask for understanding. So would you join me in prayer this morning as we just petition upon the Lord? Father, we do just come to you. Father, I thank you for everything that you're doing in the life of this church, even for this morning. Father, thank you for communion, that we get to just remember what you did on the cross. Father, thank you for all that you're doing through this church, through Earl and Sharon and the other missions and just everything that we're putting our hands to. Father, we do. We look to you. Father, today as we just continue to talk about your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray for you just to be here. Father, that you would be on our ears, that would you would be on my tongue. Father, that we wouldn't allow the things that we thought we've known. We wouldn't allow past experiences. We wouldn't allow the things that we've Googled or whatever to hinder us from what your true Holy Spirit's meaning is to be for our lives. Father, so we just open our hearts to what you want to say. We open our ears to hear. Father, and we just say, would you reveal your Holy Spirit to us in a whole new way? In a way of truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to read quickly. I want to read this morning, Acts 19. And I encourage you to just continue as we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, to ask the Lord to give you insights about his Spirit. Because this is a topic, as I kind of joked about, that is so skeptical. People are so skeptical. People are so hurt. People are so wounded over the Holy Spirit. And that's not the intention of the Holy Spirit. But again, I think for a number of reasons, we've seen things done in the name of the Spirit, and I think we've all questioned those things. And so I'm just asking for an open slate this morning and open hearts as we dive into his word. So in Acts 19, it says this: while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. And he said this: did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? They replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, through Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came to them. They spoke in other tongues, they prophesied, and there was about 12 men in all. So here what we have is what I would call an encounter. Wouldn't you call this an encounter? Okay, there is an encounter or a collision that Paul had with a number of heathens. No, with believers. Those who have heard of Jesus, those who were believers. He had a collision with church folk. With you, with me. And they knew and they were following Jesus, but they had no understanding of the Holy Spirit. I think it's comical that he said, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they say, we have not only not received him, bro, we don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. So we're talking about completely unaware Christians here. And unfortunately, in the church today, we can talk about God the Father. We love our Father. We can talk about the Son that gave his life for us. But we like to skip over the third part of the Trinity because we don't understand, we don't know, we don't want to go there for whatever reason. And I don't want it to be said of me, well, buddy, not only have I not received it, I don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. I want us to say, we know who this Holy Spirit is. We have a biblical understanding of what he's about. And we walk and we operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's my prayer anyways. I say Holy Spirit and you go to a place of you're either freaked out or you completely don't understand what's gone on. And I realize that many of us have had experiences in churches and things have been done and things have been said. And a lot of times I can kind of scratch my head and go, I don't completely understand. But I don't want my limiting understanding to allow me to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So if you look in the New Testament over and over again, when you see the Holy Spirit, it is always accompanied by power. There is a correlation between power and the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it says we receive power. And I don't know about you, but our nation and the nations of the world is in need of a gospel that doesn't lack power. So our nation is in need of a gospel that doesn't lack the Holy Spirit. Because it is going to be the power that is going to change their heart. Not the condemnation, not the convincing. It is going to be the power that is going to change their hearts. So there is something, a correlation with power and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're back to our story here. They say, we don't even know the Holy Spirit. I want to urge you this morning that the Holy Spirit is not just for pastors and the weird ones. So I invite you today. I was with my son. He's not, and how old is he? 9 months almost. His name's Titus, and he's big, and he's awesome. And I was trying to feed him the other day, and he was done eating whatever the poor kid had to eat, like kale, green beans, and like, you know, grass mashed up. I'm like, seriously? And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give him a bite of something good. And so I was eating my ice cream. And mom was gone. And at first, I like literally had to jam the spoon in his mouth for him to taste. Well, that's not mashed up grass anymore. That's something good. But I was reminded, as we are invited to taste and see, I invite us to taste and really experience that the Holy Spirit is good. So the first thing I want to do is I want to just tell you the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a pat. The Holy Spirit is not a weird mystic force. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit, in fact, is a he. If you read your Bible, he. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not looking for this crazy thing to come out of the lampshades. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is not just the deliverer of cool goosebumps. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not the one that's going to make you do things that you're going to regret and be embarrassed over. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit has emotions, has characteristics, has personality, has thought, has feeling. Okay, he's personable. I think it's so important that we establish that he is personable. Because you and I are called to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. But if we don't even recognize him as personable, well, then good luck having a personal relationship with him. Yeah. He's personable. And he wants and desires to have a relationship. He wants you to get to know his personality, his traits, what grieves his heart. Okay, in John 14:16, it says this. It says, I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another advocate that will never leave you. Okay, I love that word advocate, because advocate is someone working on your behalf. Advocate is someone that is partnering with you and helping you accomplish things that you couldn't do on your own. And this advocate isn't someone that's going to leave you out there hanging. This advocate isn't someone that's just going to forget to show up one day. But it says that he abides with you, that he goes with you. That he's a personal, you know, you can have a personal relationship with him. So advocate. Okay, the Holy Spirit feels, right, has emotion, grieves, loves, is intelligent, has grace, patience, he comforts. Those are all personal traits. It's not just weird, goosey, bumpy thingies. Okay, personal traits. Okay, the point is that he's relational and he desires a personal relationship with all of us. And I want to be known as getting to know this aspect of God. So he's a person. Point two, I want to read 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says this. I'm going to read it twice, two different versions. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I want to read it out of the message because I understand that a little differently. It says this, "The amazing grace of Master Jesus, the extravagant love of God," and listen to this, "the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So number two, the Holy Spirit is a friend. I just showed you, okay? I'm not making this up. Again, part of our problem is we hear things and we don't go to the Word of God. Well, I want to go to God's Word and say, hey, God's Word calls him a friend. That we're supposed to have an intimate friendship with this person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's not just a person that wants to intimidate you. The Holy Spirit is a friend. He's not a playground bully. He's not someone that has to be with you because it's the right thing to do. He is a friend that desires to be with you, that desires to abide with you, that isn't getting paid to hang out with you. He is an intimate friend, and he wants to have that relationship with you. Listen, I was probably a weirdo before I met the Holy Spirit. There's no problem about it. I was completely a weird dude before the Holy Spirit encountered me. And the person on your left and on their right, they were weird before the Holy Spirit came too. And the truth is, you're probably the weird one in this room, right? But the Holy Spirit wants to have an intimate friendship with you. Well, I don't have a lot of friends. Okay, it was actually a comical story. When we got married, my wife had like 11 friends in her wedding. And I thought I was going to have to like pay people to be in my wedding because I didn't have a lot of friends. I was like, who wants to be in my wedding? Right? But I do have some intimate friends. Like, not intimate in a weird way, but I have some friends that are closer than a brother to me. I know the benefits of having brothers on my left and brothers on my right. And that's what the Holy Spirit, a relationship where you're enriched, where you're encouraged, where you are spurned on to do great things. Listen, a friend isn't going to force himself on you. The Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you. But the Holy Spirit wants you to get to know his personality. You know, I think one of the greatest attacks of the enemy is to keep us from experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that part of the enemy's plans is to get us to continue to argue whether tongues is biblical or not. If I can just keep them arguing with one another, well, then you know what? We're missing the power because we're too busy arguing. And I say, Lord, let us not argue over one aspect of your Spirit and miss all these other aspects. I want to say this morning that the Holy Spirit calls you, he qualifies you, he gives you the power, he enables you, he hears you, he speaks to you, he guides you to all truth. Amen? He guides you to all truth. You will be enriched by having him in your life. Okay, point three. Acts 2:36, that the Holy Spirit is for all believers. It's for all of us. I want to just start, just for time's sake, but I want to read this, and I'm going to start on 38, and it says, Peter said to them, "Repent, each one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you." Say, "For you." Look at your neighbor and say, "For you." Now look at your neighbor and say, "For your children." Now look at your neighbor and say, "And for all who are far off." So the Holy Spirit is for you, for your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's for all believers. Another version says, "Let the whole house know how to teach it to their children." Listen, parents, I'm a parent. We need to learn how to teach the Holy Spirit to our kids. Because in the day and age that we live in, they need to know how to hear the voice, how to be sensitive, how to not grieve the Spirit of God. Because yes, they will experience the Holy Spirit, but experience alone without truth will lead to deception in their life. Because I know a lot of people that have experiences of different kinds. Some good, some not good. But we want to back up those experiences with the truth based on God's word. Amen? So we cannot build our truth based on experience, but our truth has to be what shapes that experience. So he is a person, he is our friend, and he is for all. The next one, because I miscount, I think four. He is a helper. Can you say that? He is a helper. Moms, how many of you with young kids could use a helper during your day? Now, if the Holy Spirit only helped do laundry and dishes and all that kind of stuff, right? That'd be great. But he is your helper. He is there to help. He is there to guide you. He is there to give you practical wisdom with how to deal with your kids and your situation. He's not just here for an hour and a half. He wants to go with you. He wants to help you. Okay, the word helper in the Bible, it talks about the word paraclete. Not the bird. Okay, paraclete. I was in a service one time and someone kept saying paraclete. And someone came up to me and said, "Why does he keep talking about a bird?" Well, no, he's not talking about the bird. But paraclete. The word paraclete, if you break it down, it literally was someone that would come alongside you and help carry your burden. So if you were building a house, the paraclete was one that was like, "What needs cutting? What needs trimming? What can I do to help you build your house?" He is our paraclete. He is our helper, the one that is supposed to help carry the burden with you, assist you in accomplishing the goals of your life. He's our helper. Number four, the Holy Spirit's function in your life is to reveal the truth to you. That's his function in our life, is to reveal truth. Have you ever been reading God's word and just stopped and thought, "What? This is me. What the heck did I just read? Am I alone in that? What in the world was that supposed to mean? Because I don't get it. And I don't understand it." But the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal truth to you. So if your reading time with the Lord, if your Word of God time isn't so alive and active, as Hebrews says, the Word of God's alive. If you're reading the Word of God and it's not alive and active, I encourage you and I challenge you to say, "Holy Spirit, would you reveal this truth to me?" Because the Holy Spirit wants to unlock the truth to you like you've never known. He wants to reveal secrets. He wants to reveal mysteries. He wants to reveal and give you revelation to what the Word of God is saying for your life. If I continue here in John 14:26, it says this, and I love this. It says, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything you need, and he will remind you of everything that I've told you. Do you need to be reminded tomorrow when you're at work to have patience for that coworker? Well, the Holy Spirit wants to remind you of that truth. You know, how many of you, when you read, you go, man, I have a hard time reading the word because I forget what I read. Been there, done that. Still there sometimes. But Holy Spirit, would you remind me what I read? Would you make it revelation to me? Because I believe that he can give you insight to your day, insight to your problems and your situations. Number five, I know we're going fast, but next week we're going to continue just to talk about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number five, the Holy Spirit's function in your life is to help you reveal Jesus. Can I just free you from any other expectation that you have about the Holy Spirit and say, his function in your life is to help you reveal Jesus to those that need to know Jesus. Take everything apart. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus. The gifts are given to us, but they're not for us. They're for those to be, they're to reveal Jesus, if I'm just going to say it plain. That's why you have the gifts, is to show them Jesus. Not to give us the high that we like or to make us funny. We're funny enough on our own, right? Some of you are too funny and you're thinking the same thing. But his role is to help us reveal Jesus. He wants to make you effective in the Great Commission. Right, Acts 1:8, right? It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We like that. And you will be then my witnesses, telling everyone about me everywhere. So power and witness, there it is. Listen, it's not my charisma. It's not my PMA, positive mental attitude. Oh, you're just such a positive. You have some great smiling teeth, Justin. You smile a lot. You must have good teeth. No, I got a crooked one on the bottom, right? It's not because I have charisma. It's not my positive mental attitude. It is the Holy Spirit inside of us that is allowing people to see Jesus in your life. It's not just, oh, he's a positive person or gullible. No, the Holy Spirit in you will reveal Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's function in your life is to help you reveal Jesus. The next one, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Notice I didn't say you're going to convict your neighbor of sin. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin. It's not my job to judge. It's not my job to convict. Listen, I can get to the heart of my kids. I could teach them, I can show them, I could encourage them to do the right thing. I can encourage them over and over and over again until I'm blue in the face. I can have all the right sayings, all the right strategies, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict their heart, I'm out of luck. The Holy Spirit has to be the one, parents. Listen, I can nag my wife to change all I want. And I'm pretty good at nagging my wife sometimes. I can critique with the best of them. And some of you can too. But at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit doesn't intervene in my life, in my wife's life, then there's no way for real change. So I encourage you, spouses, to start partnering with the Holy Spirit when it comes to your relationship with your spouse. To start partnering with the Holy Spirit when it comes to parenting your kids. Because what I can't do, the Holy Spirit can do in an instant. One prayer from a praying mom and dad can change everything. I know because I am one. And I've seen them. So parents, start praying those prayers. The next one, and we're just about done. The Holy Spirit guides you through life. He guides you through life. In Luke 2:26, it says that he speaks to us. In Romans 8:14, it says that he leads us and he guides us. In John 16:13, it says that he can give you discernment for things that have yet to come. He guides you through life. I believe that the Holy Spirit is given to us to answer all of the gray areas in life. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. All the gray areas in life. The areas like, God, what job do I take? And he says, pick the gray area. How about, God, what school do I send my kids to? It doesn't say it in the Bible. The Holy Spirit wants to give you discernment for that gray area. How about, what birth control do we use, God, in our marriage? Because it doesn't say what you're supposed to do. Holy Spirit, would you give us discernment? Holy Spirit, would you give us guidance? Holy Spirit, would you be with us in all of the decisions that we're making day to day? The Holy Spirit wants to help you answer those gray areas. I'm going to have the worship team come up and just play. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says this. It says, your ears, they will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Listen, that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants to say, whatever you do, this is the way. And so I'm going to invite us all to stand today as we're going to just continue the next couple weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. But I want to ask you five things. I know, just five? Yeah, just luckily it's not 50. I want to ask you five things this morning as we've talked about the Holy Spirit, who you are and what do you want to do. Well, I can tell you who he is. And I can just told you about six things of what he wants to do in your life. So in light of those things, would you allow the Holy Spirit, would you allow the Lord to renew your mind when it comes to the Holy Spirit? Would you allow him to shape the truth of why he comes? Number two, would you come? Even this week, even today, would you come to the Holy Spirit with a clean slate? Listen, he's not here to make you weird. He's here to make you effective, as Pastor Ryan said last week. Would you allow him just to wash away the experiences, the things that you didn't understand, the things maybe that were done in the name of the Holy Spirit to you and it wasn't right? Number three, would you open your life today to this friend, this intimate friend? Would you open today your life to the helper? Would you open today your life to the one that wants to guide you in all truth? I'm asking that. As we are entering the season of fall, could we be a church that says, Holy Spirit, we open our lives to the helper, to the friend, to the one who convicts. Listen, you don't have to convict those around you. Be freed. You don't have to change those around you. Be freed from that. It's not your job. It's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Would you partner today with the Holy Spirit in the Great Commission of revealing Jesus? Would you allow him tomorrow at work? Kids, Tuesday, when you're at school, would you allow, I know that's depressing, but would you allow the Holy Spirit to use you to reveal Jesus to those that need Jesus? And would you allow him, lastly, to reveal the gifts that he wants you to operate in through his Spirit? Would you allow that? Father, today, Father, we open our hearts to what you want to do in us. Father, we open our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Father, would you just, even right now as we are before you, would you just renew our minds? Would you wash us, Father, from anything that is hindering your Spirit in our mind, in our experience, the things that we thought we've known? Father, would we be people who know your Holy Spirit based on the truth, not just the experience? Holy Spirit, would you partner with us? Father, would we open our hearts to partner with you? Father, I confess that without your Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Without your Holy Spirit, we can't change. We can't be effective. We confess our need for you. And Holy Spirit, over this next couple of weeks, Father, would you reveal to us how to walk in the giftings that you've given us? Father, thank you that it says that your Holy Spirit is a gift. Father, we open our hearts to you today. Can we just sing this chorus in response to the Holy Spirit? Allow him. I just feel like he's wanting to continue to do things. Just allow him in your life as we sing to touch you. So, Father, all over this place, Father, we just welcome and open our hearts to you, to your Spirit, to the things that you want to do. Father, continue to renew our minds. Continue, Father, even this week as we go, Father, would your Holy Spirit be present with us. Father, would your Holy Spirit enable us, help us, be our advocate, because that's who you are. Be our friend this week, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Come on, let's go. Let's be open to what he's saying and doing. It's going to be good. I'm believing that he's going to speak to us this week. You are dismissed. If you want prayer, I encourage you to come afterwards, and we'd love to pray for you. God bless you.